American Journal. We're getting ready to kick off the second hour of the show. Time is flying by over here. I don't know about you guys, but time is definitely flying by. We're excited you're jumping on with us. Thanks to Alex Jones for joining us today. Very busy schedule, and it was an honor, of course, to have him on. Also, thank you to Tom Renz for being so flexible. I know we had him on hold for a bit, but that's very important information to get out to the world. Folks, if you haven't done so already, give me a follow on X at Brianna Morello. That's BRIANNAMORELLO. I did just post our press release for Alex's announcement regarding his lawsuit. We will also have the link for you guys all at home to be able to view that lawsuit filing in full. So that is where you can do just that. We will also have it up on the Infowars.com website as well. You've got several platforms to go find the latest on all of that. But we've got my girl, Becca Spinks, joining us in just a little bit. She's going to break down that shooting that took place. And it was obviously a very tragic shooting that took place in Canada. But it has a lot to do with what we're currently enduring here in the mainland. And that is that we've got a lot of transgender individuals committing acts of violence or threatening to commit acts of violence as well. And there's a lot here. Now, Becca's been doing the digging into all of this, and she'll join us to break that down. Again, folks, on X, you probably know who she is. It's BX on X, her X name. And so we look forward to her exclusive report. She's been doing the deep dive into this individual's background. And it's very infuriating. It's very infuriating because the media in Canada is actually correcting you. And so is the law enforcement. They're correcting you if you use the wrong pronouns for the mass murderer. Now, this is seriously where we are as a society right now. It's absolutely devastating, but she'll be with us in a minute to break that down for you. I want to shift gears over right now to North Carolina for a bit. Roy Cooper, who was the former governor of North Carolina, well, he was recently grilled about his refusal to answer questions about that Ukrainian girl who was killed. Remember when she was sitting on that bus, the train, and she was stabbed to death fatally? Well, he's been forced to answer some questions. I want you to listen to clip four and how he responded.
Governor Cooper, why was DeCarlos Brown on your list for early release? Governor Cooper, could you answer the question, please? Governor Cooper, why was DeCarlos Brown on your list for early release?
Because of you. Coward.
Governor Cooper, why was DeCarlos Brown on your list for early release?
Okay, no, it's Carlos Brown. Carlos Brown was the one who was stabbed the victim. And obviously, folks, this is gut-wrenching, but the reality of it is Roy Cooper is actually a horrible person. I want to make this very, very clear. Roy Cooper, when I was doing a report back on the floods in North Carolina, I believe this was, 2025, 2024, maybe? There were federal employees calling me because they wanted to fly in to save those in North Carolina who were abandoned, and they tried their very best to do just that. Now, unfortunately, they were unable to do so. Why? Because Governor Cooper wouldn't allow them in. They weren't allowed in for days. They were on standby, standing, like literally waiting at hotels. And I broke that story to you exclusively. I was one of the very few who had that full report in regards to Cooper's response and also their efforts just not allow any federal resources in. Now, this was intentional. Actually, this was 2024 because it was right before the election. And so, you know, I remember vividly reaching out like, hey, we've got guys in hotel rooms ready to go out there and rescue folks. And it's been over 5 days. What's going on? Governor's office wouldn't respond. Then when I dropped the report, it exploded online. He decided to refer to it as disinformation, even though those same people were still waiting in hotel rooms nearby and outside states. So Roy Cooper is actually a horrible person. I see that he's running for U.S. Senate and he should not be allowed to run for Senate. But folks, that's where we are right now in all of this. And it's absolutely devastating, of course. People like him belong in prison. But here we go. Here we go. Of course, they get away with it. And there's no ramifications or, penalties for what they've done. So we're going to keep our eye on this, obviously, because he should be grilled about this. He should not be allowed to get and seek higher office. People like this need to suffer the penalties, and that needs to be the death of their political career. All right, folks, we got more going on in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. In the meantime, in the second hour of the show, like I mentioned, we have Becca joining us. We also have Liz Harrington joining us as well, plus a couple of really big stories you're not going to see anywhere else. I'll be breaking down for you in a moment. So buckle up. More to discuss in just a bit. We'll be back in 1 minute.
I'm not an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and an analyst and a futurist and a father and a guy that loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer, it just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back. Happy Friday, everyone. A lot going on over here. We have a packed program for you, packed house. It's actually normally not this chaotic and busy over here, but it is today. And I'm excited to have our next guest on in just a moment. But for many of you at home, you probably heard over the week that there was a mass shooting in Canada. And it's a bit of a head scratcher, obviously, because we know how Canadians feel about gun rights. And so this one kind of caught a lot of us off guard. But there's a common theme amongst these mass shootings and these acts of violence that are popping up all across, you know, North America. And it's the fact that these individuals are transgender. Now, take a look at this. The information regarding this individual is absolutely gut-wrenching. But the background story is that he's a biological boy, killed six children ages 11 to 13, a teacher, his own mother, and then killed himself. Now, I keep saying him, and I want to emphasize that he is a man, a boy, because the mainstream media won't do that. In fact, sadly, when a journalist did decide to refer to him as his biological gender, local law enforcement actually corrected the reporter in clip 8. Take a listen.
Expand a little bit on the suspect. Was he known to police? Were there any red flags regarding his mental health?
So a suspect is identified as an 18-year-old female by the name of Jesse. We have a history of police attendance at the family residence. Some of those calls were related to mental health issues.
We have to go by his preferred pronouns, of course. Yeah, the one who was just murdering children who were innocently sitting at their school trying to enjoy their lives, trying to enjoy their day, trying to learn a thing or two. They're brutally murdered by this biological man, but we have to go with his preferred pronouns. How gut-wrenching is that? It's really infuriating what's going on, especially in Canada, but also here, obviously, we see that in the United States as well. Joining me to discuss is the incredible independent journalist, Becca Spinks, joins the program today. As many of you guys know, she does a great job at digging into, you know, the satanic murder cults in her spare time. But most importantly, she is one of my favorite follows on X these days. Becca, I want to thank you for joining the show. It's an honor to have you on. I know you've been doing an exclusive deep dive into the individual who, the animal, I'll just say, who decided to take the lives of so many innocent children, his own mother, and then turn the gun on himself. What are you learning?
Yeah, so we learned quite a bit in the last 48 hours. I've cautioned people that, you know, it does take us that long approximately to get all of the facts. There was a lot of disinformation and incorrect information being shared in the early hours following the shooting, which is something that we see every single shooting. We see disinformation spreading. So I just caution people, give us time, give the experienced researchers time to come up with our assessment. I'm not a breaking news account, but if you follow me, you know that within the first couple of days, I'll have a really extensive report out for you. So we actually saw a lot of people, trying to connect this with what I've talked about before, the Order of Nine Angles, 764, child exploitation cult stuff. But it turns out that it wasn't necessarily connected to those things this time. It was actually connected to something that we see a lot more of these shooters being connected to, and that's this so-called TCC, the True Crime Community. The TCC is like a mass shooter fandom, for lack of a better term. These are online communities that are obsessed with mass shooters, that glorify them, make fancy video edits with them, sexualize them. And it's a really, really nasty place that we see a lot of these vulnerable individuals, vulnerable youth falling prey to, and a lot of times they end up planning their own shootings after that. In this case, we actually saw that the perpetrator had created a Roblox game that was a mass shooting simulator at a mall where you could go to the mall as a Roblox character, pick up guns and rocket launchers and just start chasing people down and shooting them. This is something that we also see a lot in the background of these shooters, that they were these terminally online people who were, you know, unfortunately sucked into really harmful communities where they were basically groomed into doing this, you know, by bad actors and by this strange online subculture.
Becca, this is so disturbing in itself. And, you know, the Roblox element to it's the reason why there are so many individuals, so many groups now these days. I believe it's also Texas is going after Roblox to kind of find out some answers here. When it comes to these games that are being manufactured and posted on Roblox, is there any, for an example, this is something that you do quite often. When you see these types of games, is there a layer of you could report it and then they're quickly taken down, or are they just always remaining posted up there? So, because I'm not familiar with Roblox at all, but are they always posted up there so anyone could play these games?
As of yesterday, it was an active game on Roblox that anyone of any age could play. That means if your kid's unsupervised on Roblox, they could have found their way into this game and started playing a mass shooter simulation, and possibly also talking to other Roblox characters who would invite them to Discord servers and other malicious things to try to exploit them. So the Roblox did take the game down. And I think as of today, they issued a statement confirming it was a shooter's account and that they had taken it down. When I find stuff like this, it goes on my radar, right? I know that the people who make these games especially are very high likelihood of committing an attack. You know, finding games like this have been one strategy used to actually thwart potential attacks. In fact, there was one right in Round Rock, Texas. A person was arrested for planning a church shooting, and he was caught because he was on one of these Roblox games where they were simulating mass shootings, and he was talking about it. So that person's actually going through the court system right now. So there have been people caught while actually doing this, which is reassuring, I guess. But, you know, this person, unfortunately, there were so many red flags. The police had him on his radar. They'd been to his house multiple times. Canada has some of the strictest gun control laws you can imagine. And yet this person was still able to go and commit a mass shooting despite having all of these known mental illness, you know, visits from the police and all of these red flags online. So there's definitely a lot to learn on this one.
Yeah, and I want to keep going through it all because, you know, in your thread, your Twitter thread itself, and folks, give her a follow on X, BX underscore on X, and there's an underscore under there as well, between on and X, but we'll put it up on our screen as well and include a link as well and tag you in our posts. But I really want to talk about this part. This one's interesting to me. The shooter identified as a trans lesbian, and the shooter obviously being Jesse. Again, this is a biological boy who is pretending to be a female. What do you know about that? And also the fact that he began transitioning at the age of 12.
Right. So what we've heard from authorities and pieced together from online, like his mother's Facebook posts, go back for years, talking about her son's mental health problems, his behavioral problems. It appears that she allowed him to start medically transitioning to female around age 12, in order to kind of hopefully correct his behavioral mental health problems. Unfortunately, this, I think, obviously contributed to his spiral, because what you can see from his Reddit history, and I mean, and again, we're talking about an 18-year-old, okay? So for 6 years, 5 or 6 years, this kid has been online, unsupervised, posting on Reddit, which is also important. Probably even more important than the transgender stuff is how much access this kid who had known behavioral problems was given access to the internet unsupervised. And you can see in his Reddit history that he had been lamenting his transition, talking about problems with loneliness and depression and anger. He'd been talking about, not liking his boyish figure. He'd been on some of these Reddit communities talking about hormone replacement therapy. He was on hormone replacement therapy. And then like later on in life, you know, as of recently, you see him posting about he's on SSRIs and psych drugs, and he's on estrogen and hormone replacements. And now he's also experimenting with shrooms and DMT and LSD. I mean, this kid was, I mean, it's really a failure of the parents. I mean, how do you not know your kid is you know, into all of these things? He's posting it publicly online. He was on this very dangerous cocktail of medications and self, administered hallucinogens. I mean, I think that it's obvious that there were a lot of factors that contributed in this specific case. I would definitely say that the transgender component is important. When I talk about this, I don't think that there's necessarily I've been pretty hesitant to kind of attribute mass shootings to transgenderism, mm-hmm. because obviously there's a lot of things that go into this, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that the bottom line is that teenagers who are gender confused, who are told by their peers, by their parents, by their teachers, that it is okay for you to be gender confused and change your gender and have all these identity issues. These kids are far more likely to find themselves in these toxic, harmful online spaces, like this true crime community mass shooter fan club Discord servers, where they become radicalized. This shouldn't surprise anybody, you know. I mean, these communities target vulnerable kids, kids that have identity issues, kids that have mental health issues, kids that are autistic. And so these are the people who we most likely see committing these shootings. Him being transgender alone tells me where to look online for information on, you know, where he became radicalized. So it is really an issue of online radicalization. And I think that a lot of people, even on the left side of the aisle, really need to listen to what I'm saying. They need to remove emotion from the equation. They need to listen to what I'm saying when I tell them that LGBT youth are overrepresented in these dangerous communities. There's a higher number of them there because they're socially ostracized, they're isolated, they're confused, and they're looking for validation and identity. So they find themselves in these harmful communities that exploit them more often than normal, healthy, well-adjusted children. I think it's very important that we recognize this as a risk factor.
Yeah. And I think it is important. And I think it's also important too, Becca, that we study, and I'm glad that, you know, RFK Jr. is doing this, but he's trying to study what all of these hormones mean to kids when you're putting them on all of these transitioning hormones and you're putting them on puberty mm-hmm. blockers. I mean, the long-term effects here, mm-hmm. because we're hearing from so many kids who have regret after transitioning when they were kids.
Sure.
And they're yeah. speaking about these issues quite often. You know, we just talked about it yesterday when I was filling in for Alex with another guest. But I mean, there's been plenty, like Chloe, for an example, has been very open about it, that she has a massive amount of regret. And it started for her when she was younger, and she started developing a lot quicker, and she was getting comments from teachers, and she wanted to hide the fact that she was developing breasts at such a young age. And it's such a complex issue that it can't be simplified. Mm-hmm. But when you see that RFK Jr. is trying his best to learn more as to what the long-term effects or the mental health issues that come about this, when you're putting these kids on these hormones and on these puberty blockers, are you hopeful that we might get to the bottom of this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're both adult women, right? I think we can all attest to the implications of hormone imbalances and changing hormones on your emotional mm-hmm. state. I think that this is just it's obvious that kids who are having, you know, hormonal adjustments and artificial hormones pumped in their bodies, I'm sure that can have detrimental effects, not just on the body, but on the mind. I'd also bring this up in the context of cults, which is my specialty, right? Manipulative, harmful cults. If you look at any cult in history, what you find is that you've had the same types of people that are vulnerable to join cults, right? Mm-hmm. And by and large, those people share personality traits like having a weak sense of identity, having a weak sense of self, having self-esteem issues. You know, these are people who are looking for validation, looking for connections, looking for a higher meaning. And so the first thing that happens to them in the cult is their identity is wiped off, and they're given a new identity, the identity of the cult. Right. So obviously people who are already having a weak sense of identity, already having gender confusion, already having an identity crisis. Who am I? Kids who are going through puberty. We've all been there. We've all been kids going through puberty. Mm-hmm. Right. It's a very, very hectic, chaotic time. This is a very unstable point where a kid is rocking around trying to figure out who they are. It's not hard to grab them and push them over to one extreme side and say, this is what you are now. And from there, you can control that person. So mentally speaking, there's a lot that goes into the mentality of these groups and this these groups where these kids are exploited and radicalized and taught that nobody matters. This is the TCC true crime mass shooting fandom is really a place of misanthropy, celebrating misanthropy and nihilism, celebrating that society has failed them, teaching them, blackpilling them, that society has failed them and that there's no other recourse but for them to just go and teach society a lesson by killing as many people as possible. And so that's what we see happening in these communities every time. This time's no exception. In fact, you had mentioned that he identified as a lesbian. That's actually something that I personally found on his Watch People Die account. He was on this account called Watch People Die. It's a website full of gore where you watch gore videos. He was expressing interest in violence and mass shooting. We see a search history there that he was searching Samantha Rupnow, who is like a TCC icon. She's the biological female who committed an attack in Madison, Wisconsin in December of 2024. A lot of times when we see people getting interested in Rupnow, that's a huge red flag that they're about to do something scary. And so unfortunately, he was in that rabbit hole 2 months ago. We can see his search history and no one intervened. He was obviously planning this for probably a couple of months. We also saw via some of his chats that he had on Watch People Die that he identified as a lesbian and was inviting other gender confused kids into a Discord server. We don't have any information. Like I said, I'm a citizen, not law enforcement, right? So I don't have access to his Discord, but I can only imagine what we would find if we had his Discord history, which I'm sure that they're going to avoid releasing at all costs.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are. But this whole story itself is heartbreaking. Obviously, the massive amount of loss of life here is devastating, but it's also devastating on how we're letting these kids down, Becca. And I know you try your best to warn parents about what's going on online, but most importantly, I think a lot of parents and probably the mother had the best intentions when she tried to help her son transition, thinking that this would cure his inner, I guess, demons, the battle he's internally fighting. And it's just so sad to see. I mean, I said it yesterday too. Growing up, I went through like a tomboy phase, wore all black, was very tomboyish, but I couldn't imagine what I'd be up against now with the media, with the social media, with everything going on out there, trying to combat the fact that, well, maybe I'm a different gender. Maybe I actually don't even want to be a girl because I like black. I like dark colors. I like boy sports. My heart breaks for these children. I don't know how they combat it. And I think we need to do better as adults now to help
them
out.
They don't. We're the adults. Yeah, we're the adults in the room. They can't do anything. We're the ones that have to step in and say these kinds of ideologies are harmful to a kid's mental health. It can stunt their psychological growth. It can lead to increasing isolation and ostracization of, their social groups. And, it can lead them to bad places online. I think, the mother in her Facebook post did seem to just be trying anything to help her kid who was born with mental health issues, born with behavioral problems. These things are innate sometimes, and I think that she did try to embrace this transition in order to kind of help him. But unfortunately, it cost her life, and it cost the life of her 11-year-old son, who was also killed along with her in the home. So yes, it's very, very sad. And, I think that it's just important for parents to understand, that there's a lot of shootings that happen. I will say most of them are not done by transgender people. Mm-hmm. However, a large percentage of them, like a larger percentage than you would expect are, right? Like say there might be 5 or 6 out of 100. That's still quite a bit. That's enough to make us raise our eyebrows and go, there could be a trend here. And there is. And I'm telling you what the trend is. The trend is that these are the people, the kids who are more likely to find themselves in these radicalized online environments. So really, it comes down to what do all of them have in common? They were all radicalized online in these exact same communities, right? We need to increase the amount of attention that we pay to these communities. If a kid's creating a mass shooter simulation game on Roblox, that should be a huge indicator that something is not right. Right. I personally, people bring this stuff to me all the time, and I'll personally try to identify that youth. I'll try to identify that youth and I'll try to escalate that to law enforcement. And we've actually succeeded in thwarting mass shootings that way. We have succeeded in thwarting mass shootings simply by knowing where to look and being there and raising alarm bells when we see this kind of behavior. And it's frustrating that we can't catch all of them. It's frustrating to see that they were operating in plain sight in these communities that we know well, and we were not able to stop this one. So, you know, I think law enforcement needs to pay more attention to this stuff. And parents need to be aware that if your kid is spending, a lot of time online or any time online unsupervised, that's a problem. You need to get control of that. You need to know exactly what your kid is doing online at all times. There should be no situation where your 18-year-old child has a 5-year Reddit history of crazy stuff. There's no excuse for that.
Yeah, Becca, there's no excuse for that. And you know, you dig into this. I know you do your very best. And I know you're often attacked online, on Twitter specifically, by a lot of these people who feel like you're going after them, targeting them. But I know that your true intentions here are just mainly to help families to save their children before something like this happens. Because I totally understand what's going on in a lot of these kids' minds. They probably just feel like there's no reason to live, or they just feel like their mental health issues are consuming them. But there's more to life than being worried about certain issues and this gender confusion. Mm-hmm. I totally mm-hmm. get where they are on that front. Becca, you do an incredible job. And I want to remind our audience that you do this because you're an independent journalist. So folks, she's only able to do this when you support her. You got to head on over to her Substack and make sure you subscribe. BX Writes, that's WRITES. .substack.com, bxwrites.substack.com. That's where you go to support her work. She's doing this because she's, you know, obviously, Becca, you're a parent, but you most importantly are a human being who want to save these kids before they get consumed by the dark web. And sadly,
it's tragic. I mean, I don't want to feel like I have sympathy for the killers, but I do in a way. I pity them. And it's tragic that they didn't have that support and those parents and that intervention they needed to prevent the loss of life. I mean, when we look at like Samantha Rupnow, when she was like 15 or 16, that's still sad. That's a terrifying loss of life. And it is tragic. It should never happen if the parents are paying close enough attention. So yeah, I'm not a political person. I'm not here to promote a political agenda. People get mad at me because I'm warning them about what I'm seeing. And what I'm seeing is that LGBT youth are overrepresented in these harmful communities. Which should be a warning to parents to, number one, make sure your kid has a healthy sense of identity. That's what you're raising them for. That's your job as a parent, to raise a robust child who knows who they are. And secondly, that they're not given unsupervised access to the internet, no matter what. All of these things could have prevented this tragic case.
Yeah, and that's the worst part about all of this. But Becca, you do an incredible job. Again, folks, bxwrites.substack.com is where you go to see all of her work. You do an incredible job. And you also have a very interesting story about a cannibal. And I highly recommend our audience to head on over there and subscribe. You do a great job. And I'm very proud of you. So congratulations, Becca, on another great report that you've done. Again, give her a follow on X. She's one of the very few who's going into the dungeons of the dark web to find you these stories and to prevent the massive amount of casualties that are caused by these accelerators. Becca does a great job at that. So make sure you give her a follow. Becca, thank you. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Brianna.
Always a pleasure. Folks, I want to remind y'all that right now at the alexjonesstore.com, we have an incredible sale and it's going on for a limited time right now. Drop what you're doing, head on over to the shop. It is 52% off. It's the mega sale. It's going on now. And again, it's 52% off the whole site-wide. I haven't seen a sale like this in quite some time. I think the last time we did a good sale like this was Christmas. So you got to head on over. Now it's time to stock up on your favorite supplements. Maybe you want a hat, a hoodie, a t-shirt. Well, it's 52% off right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. And like Alex told you earlier in the show, when you support us over at the shop, you are helping us stay up and running, obviously, but most importantly, build our next operation. We're very grateful for your support. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now and stock up while it's 52% off.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene Bluetooth. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said, sure, he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it. RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. The first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in
because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue, and then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah. Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshow.com, but we'll certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it. Yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimethylene Blue, thealexjonesshow.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it on SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShow.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in, and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time, the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first. And then working out so hard that, you know, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'd be like a restaurant. I'm going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on board with us today. A lot happening over here. Packed house on today's show. I don't think we've ever had this many guests on the program. Like, we're at what, like seven, six, whatever it is? So really, it's a full house today. One of my favorite people to speak to is going to join us in just a little bit. Liz Harrington is jumping on the show with us. Before we get to Liz, though, I want to play this clip for you all. John Solomon yesterday issued a report, and John Solomon has strong sources within the FBI and DOJ. So I tend to listen to when he talks, but John Solomon put out this report yesterday that there's going to be a possible raid in Maricopa County, maybe today. Take a listen to clip 9.
I've been telling you all week, keep an eye in Arizona. Keep an eye in Arizona. I think there's a Georgia-like event in Arizona, like what happened in Fulton County. I think tomorrow is a likely day. So I just want to put that on your calendar. Keep an eye tomorrow. I see Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem going down there. Now, why is that important? The Homeland Security Department oversees the election machines and election counting capabilities. CISA and the Homeland Security Department deal with that. The FBI Justice Department deal with criminal violations. So she's down there for a reason, and I think my reporting suggests that there'll be some sort of important election integrity event tomorrow. Maricopa County in Arizona. That'll be the second state after Georgia to have that sort of treatment. So put it on your calendar, get it ready, and we'll have you covered here at Real America's Voice and JustTheNews.com.
All right, so I'm ready. It's on my calendar, and I'm on standby. Joining me to discuss is Liz Harrington. She is a fighter when it comes to election integrity, but most importantly, she's the former spokesperson for President Donald Trump, and she joins us now. Liz, it's always an honor to have you on the program. You know, I sat back and watched John Solomon's report, and John's been pretty accurate over these last few months now. He's got some great sourcing. What do you make about the potential raid of Maricopa County, possibly election center?
Well, great to see you, Brianna. I think it's a logical next move if they're going to go farther than, you know, just Fulton County. Maricopa is certainly another epicenter of election fraud, and we've documented it for many years now. They have illegitimate people sitting in offices, major offices in that state. So it's really important that the administration does do something and look into this. So I certainly hope he's right. I don't have any inside knowledge. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes he's been accurate in the past, sometimes not. But lately, like you said, I think he's been kind of, you know, been fed some good information. So hopefully something does big happen today when it comes to Maricopa County.
Yeah, well, we're standing by and I'm watching, and I really hope that something does happen, because Maricopa County has been the center of a lot of fraudulent accusations. I'm trying to think of the nicest way to put this, but I know girls like Carrie Lake are probably on standby, like, let's see, because obviously Carrie Lake has also had her issues with Maricopa County as well. So we're keeping our eye on that to see if anything comes about that. But I also want to play this next clip as well. You know, I told our audience yesterday that there was going to be an announcement made by President Trump in regards to the EPA. It looks like that's happened. And officially, what's going on right now is he has terminated the so-called endangerment finding, which was a disastrous Obama-era policy, which he claims, and I think many experts would also back this up, damaged the American auto industry. Let's take a listen to clip 10.
In 2009, Barack Hussein Obama, his EPA designated fossil fuels such as oil, gas, and other things that actually make factories rock and roll and other things drive very nicely, as a threat to health and human welfare, known as the endangerment finding. This determination had no basis in fact, had none whatsoever, and it had no basis in law. On the contrary, over the generations, fossil fuels have saved millions of lives and lifted billions of people out of poverty and all over the world. And you see it with the blackouts all over, where they don't use it, where they went to wind, intermittent wind, which is weak and ineffective and very, very costly, most costly energy there is. And people are dying because there was no air conditioning or there was no heating. Lots of other things, bad things happened. And yet this radical rule became the legal foundation for the Green New Scam, one of the greatest scams in history, probably as great, maybe even greater than Russia hoax, etc., which the Obama and Biden administration used to destroy countless jobs. And the jobs have been just decimated. Although they're all coming back because of tariffs, they're all coming back into our country at levels we've never seen before. But it raised prices and caused immense harm to the U.S. auto industry. We thought irreparable, but we've got them back. We're coming back now.
I love how the media is covering this. You know, the Associated Press wrote that Trump's EPA revoked scientific findings that have underpinned U.S. fight against climate change. Climate change isn't working out for me, Liz. I don't know if it's working out for you, but I've been quite disappointed that global warming hasn't worked out. It seems to be this big push, though, and I know our audience is familiar with it. It just seems so fraudulent and such a bogus push when they use the term climate change. And it's been going on for far too long. Your reaction to the president ending the Obama era plan to go after the auto companies?
Oh, right. It's global cooling where I am as well. It's been the coldest winter, I think, in decades at least, if not longer than that. But I mean, this is just illustrative of so much damage that has been done to our country by the elites and the political class that President Trump has had to unwind. And it has so many effects on so many industries. Obviously, we saw the damage that the Biden regime did. But going back to Obama, too, I mean, all of these policies were just affected so much. And it really was a war on the American people, the American consumer, our jobs, our way of life. I mean, you cannot, as President Trump was talking about, you can't have a country operate on wind and solar. Some people get really rich off of it, but it doesn't work. And everyone knows that it was a big scam. And I'm glad to see he's winding all this back, but it really takes a lot of time to unwind these things. And I think that's why it's so critical. Like we talked about in the last topic with Maricopa and everything else, stolen elections have consequences. The Biden regime did so much damage to our country, and here we are in year two of President Trump's second term, and we're just now getting to some of these other things, and it's just so much to unwind, and it should have never happened. So obviously glad to see it, but and there's just so much to do to unwind, and it takes time for the American people to feel those good benefits because it's been, like I said, a war on the American people for a very long time.
Yeah. And we're all feeling it these days. And I'm excited that he's, you know, rolling this one back, but there are so many things that he has to do. And I'm sure the plate's full these days. I think we're north of like 200 executive orders. So I know he's working aggressively hard to go out there and try to make these critical changes. And so it's very, very important. I want to end this on like a little bit of a lighter note, though, because Caitlin Collins is insisting that CNN and herself included, they're not actually biased against the Trump administration. Take a listen to clip 11.
You know, they always argue the media is biased against them and doesn't cover them fairly, even though we cover them, I think, fairly and accurately. You want it, the focus to be on the subject matter and not on you personally as a reporter. And so I always try to, you know, keep that distance in terms of that. And I think keeping your composure in that point is important because you never want to prove them right on that front, that they are right, that you're biased against them or that you have a personal, you know, angst here. I don't.
Do you believe Collins when she says she doesn't? Because, I mean, she did used to work for Daily Caller. That's where she started.
Right. And I honestly, she probably doesn't have an ideological bent on anything. It's just about being on TV and, you know, the job. And but this is how this is possible, right? Zero self-awareness. I mean, how could you say with a straight face that CNN is fair to President Trump? It's so absurd. And her in particular, too, her questions are very nasty. Every time she does get a chance to ask President Trump a question directly or Caroline Leavitt, they're always so hostile. It's ridiculous to suggest that they aren't biased, especially when you contrast and compare to the questions that, more importantly, not that they were asking, but that what they weren't asking the Biden team. And when we didn't have a president for 4 years, then CNN didn't bother to cover that until Jake Tapper decided to try to sell some books and cover that story up. So it's so preposterous. Everyone knows it, but that's why no one watches them. Yeah. And no one cares what they report on anymore. They've really lost the power that they had because they've lost so much credibility. You know, they used to be able to control the narrative, like with a scam like Russiagate. But now they try the Signal Gate, they try the Venezuela, they try all these, you know, fake scandals, and it really doesn't get any traction because people have totally tuned them out. They go to other sources and they're really making themselves irrelevant.
Yeah. And Liz, I think that's what's going on right now. You know, I said it yesterday in the show as well, when you look at the ratings of CNN from 2016 till now, the primetime hour got over 1.6 million viewers on average, but now they're struggling to get north of 500,000, and they've been hovering over that number. So I think the American people are done with this nonsense. They're pulling away. Also, they're no longer available at the airports anymore. And so I think the forcing us all to watch CNN while we're waiting for our flights or delayed flights and such is no longer a factor. And so that's been kind of critical for CNN. But Liz Harrington, thank you for joining us today. You do an incredible job as always. It's an honor to have you on today's program. So thank you.
Great show. Thanks, Brianna.
Thank you. Thank you. Folks, give her a follow on X at RealLizUSA. That's where you could find Liz Harrington. All right, folks. Yesterday I was filling in for Alex Jones, and I know a lot of people were watching, and, you know, as I fill in for Alex, there's breaking news. And There's a woman who I've spoken highly of over these, you know, last few months, Gail Slater. She was running the antitrust division, and something big happened yesterday on air. I gave kind of like my reaction to the news that Gail was no longer going to be running the DOJ's antitrust division. And that's something that's really upsetting to me. Keep in mind, Gail Slater is someone who I highly respect. She is a patriot. She is someone who loves this country. She took a massive, massive pay cut to take on this position. And it wasn't, again, because of any type of financial gain. She was taking on this position because we've spoken several times. She took on this position because she wanted to make the country a better place for her kids. That was the goal in all of this. Well, Gail has received a lot of negative pushback. And it's really upsetting to me because I met Gail when I was getting pushback over while working for Fox. I was leaving. I was on my way out. I was done. I put out a public statement after leaving and detailed the push to force vaccinate me and how they were trying to comply with what I deemed was an illegal New York City vaccine mandate. And they tried their best to force me to comply with it, but I refused to, which resulted in them pushing me out of Fox Corp. Gail Slater was actually one of the only former Fox executives, individuals who worked for Fox, to reach out to me. She emailed me. I've never met Gail before, but emailed me to offer both her sympathy and her assistance if I needed any help with trying to land a job. And she has always been extremely kind to me. So to see what's happened to Gail over at the DOJ was very, very disappointing. You know, Gail was confirmed, the U.S. Senate confirmed position. She was confirmed by both Democrats and Republicans. Why? Well, you know, obviously, I don't agree with Democrats on much these days, but a lot of people did think that she was going to run the antitrust division without being partisan. And so that's the reason why both Democrats and Republicans fell in line with Gail. Now, over these last few weeks, Gail, last few months, I should say, she's been dealing with a lot of just public bashing. And she's just such an incredible woman. I look forward to having her on the show eventually when, you know, Gail gets some downtime. But Gail's a really kind woman, a really sweet woman. And I think that a lot gets lost in communication. And what I mean by that is what my reaction was yesterday on air was my gut reaction, knowing that there was key people who work within the DOJ, keep that in mind, who were going after Gail. I knew this. I've known about this for quite some time. Multiple sources have reached out to me to let me know that it's Gail and multiple other people who felt like they were being targeted internally. And so obviously I've been voicing those concerns with you guys all on this show. But I want to make it very clear. I mean, I wasn't going after Mike Davis yesterday. Mike Davis is a friend. I've known him for years now. He's helped me several times when I was producing or doing my own show. I mean, even at the RNC, there was an absolute mess. And he was so kind to twice on 2 days offer his help and tell me, don't worry about it. I'll help you whatever you need. And has always been a great friend in that aspect. But I didn't realize Mike Davis was also going after Gail on social either. So I'm kind of in a situation where there's two people who I truly do like and respect going after one another. And I just wanted to make it clear that I wasn't going after Mike Davis yesterday on air. Although I'm disappointed because I don't like these public feuds, I actually think this does more to hurt the movement rather than help the movement. I think a lot of these disputes should be handled behind closed doors. Because again, I'm only here not because I'm looking to become a millionaire. I'm here because I truly wanted to save this country, as many have. I would be in sports still. If there was another option for me, I wouldn't be in this because politics is obviously a very messy, messy thing to get into. So, you know, how I want to kind of conclude this little rant that I have got for you today is I'm very upset with the online feuding. I don't agree with it. I don't want people to go after one another internally, people who I truly believe are looking to help this country. And so it's been quite upsetting. I don't like the media leaks. I don't like them going after Gail Slater. Gail Slater is a patriot, and I stand by those comments I made yesterday about her character. I do not believe she's a malicious person. I do not believe she plants stories about people. I do believe, though, that she was under attack over the DOJ by those who work internally at the DOJ. And I find that their behavior is unacceptable because it's not just Gail who's under attack. As you guys know, I previously reported about Ed Martin also being under attack as well. I've spoken to several sources who have told me about the efforts to uppercut Ed. We also know that Ed was relieved of his duties over at the weaponization group. And we're also told, based on reports, that the president didn't even know that the weaponization group was being dissolved. And obviously, that was very concerning. Now, Ed has put up posts arguing that everything's okay now. But folks, I have, with 100% confidence, sources within the DOJ who tell me that there's a lot of issues here. Now, whether or not we want to smooth those issues out internally, I highly recommend they do just that. But people like Ed Martin, people like Gail Slater, people like Mike Davis, I truly do think are good people. But we've got a lot of issues here. And these issues need to be handled internally, not on places like Twitter. People don't need to be attacked. This is not productive. Not productive. Now, Mike Davis did put up this tweet, and this was not my approval. But again, me and Mike spoke about this earlier today. I did voice my concerns about his tweets privately. And then he did, you know, say, hey, you could call me. We're our friends. So we spoke on the phone. But my opinion on Gail Slater has not changed. My opinion on Mike still doesn't change either. I think both of them are great people. I think that this has a lot to do with miscommunications, plus maybe other people getting involved in all of this. And my wishes would be that this would just resolve by itself. No longer, you know, dropping tweets, no longer dropping anonymous sources in the mainstream media. I don't think it helps. Gail Slater's out at the DOJ and she's going to enjoy her life with her family and possibly get back into the private sector. But that's not her telling me that. That's just my suspicions. And, you know, Gail Slater, as well as Mike Davis, they have a platform on the show. I will always offer them the extension, the invitation, I should say, to come on here. But I don't want this to be a feud that's ongoing. I think it's not productive at all when we do just that. And, you know, I constantly am someone, and you could call me out on it, who applies public pressure over to the DOJ constantly, because I know that the DOJ is not doing the job that you and I both wanted done. I mean, this is why we elected President Trump. We wanted these deep state hacks we dragged off to prison. Right now, we're not seeing any proof that that's what's happening behind the scenes. And I get it. They say all the time, oh, you know, things happen. It's a process. But we saw what happened under the Biden regime. We saw how quickly they were able to step into the White House and to go after their political enemies. We're not asking for them to go after political enemies. We're asking for this DOJ to go after those who have tried their very best to destroy this country. To not only throw President Trump in prison, but the rest of the individuals, thousands of Americans who were harassed by the federal government, many who were drawn into bankruptcy, who were attacked. I mean, this issue cannot go unresolved. These people have to go to prison. There's no settling here. There's no settling here. And when we sit here, we watch and we're told, oh, just wait, there's a process here. I cannot sit here and allow that to happen. I need to speak my views on this issue because, folks, I was in the trenches with a lot of these folks who were being harassed by the government. I mean, so many J6ers who were unable to make their mortgage payments, worried about losing their homes. Those who were unable to just do something as simple as fixing a flat tire and being able to pay for that. I mean, they were reaching out to me. They were reaching out to a bunch of other people, Cynthia Hughes as well, for assistance. I privately was giving them funds to make sure that they could cover their expenses. I know Cynthia has done an incredible job as well over at the Patriot Project. Again, guys, this issue cannot go unresolved. We can't just sit back and watch as our DOJ just runs down the clock. And that is exactly what it is like. And I know a lot of people dispute it. Those who are, you know, working over at the FBI and DOJ, they think that this is different. They would disagree with this assessment. But we're done with watching them run down the clock. I mean, how much more time do we have? We're getting closer and closer to midterms. Americans aren't seeing results. What's the motive for us to get out and vote for these midterm elections? I don't have any. And I can't sit here and sell you on a dream. I get it that if we lose these midterms, that Democrats will every single day be pushing for impeaching President Trump. And they're already doing that now. But if they're given the majority, then that will be their top priority. And it obviously stalls out the president's agenda. But guess what? You know what all stalls out the president's agenda? What's going on right now at the DOJ? What's going on right now in Congress? They're not doing enough for the American people. And that needs to be the focus here. So the American people, and I hear you guys all, you guys constantly am calling into the show. You're voicing your frustrations with this administration, and rightfully so, and rightfully so. You know, this administration isn't above giving us the answers when it comes to this accountability tour that I keep asking for. I get it. They're picking fights. And, you know, the Seditious Six, again, I saw that the grand jury, we reported this yesterday, the grand jury would not land charges on those involved in that video. I would say that's probably the least important battle that we need to be fighting right now is these individuals who decided to go out there and make a video. That is least important. That is a waste of resources because we know you're not going to land an indictment amongst a liberal grand jury. That's not even on my top 50 wishes the DOJ commits to. We've got to reassess. We've got to focus on all of this. I don't like the name calling, the black pill nonsense where they say, oh, you're criticizing the government. You're a black pillar and they go after you. They attack you. It's amateur. It's what they did when they were trying to label us as conspiracy theorists, and it didn't work out. It didn't work out. We, the American people, demand more from our country, and there's no reason why we should allow anyone to sit there and say, no, you can't actually demand more from your government. You are a taxpayer. You get to demand whatever you want from your country, from your government. And to sit back and watch what's happening right now, I am not okay with it. And I'm not going to stand for it. I'll continue to reach out to people in private when I notice that they're doing a pile up on social media. But publicly, I try to refrain from doing that. All right, let's switch gears after that little rant. Let's talk about this. This is actually a good story. We'll get clip six going right now, because clip six is another Caitlin Collins clip. But this one is actually a really interesting story that I think needs to be told. It gives credit to Caroline Leavitt, who is the press secretary for President Trump right now. And Collins is detailing the issue she had when she was in this, when she was in Saudi Arabia, and how the Saudis didn't actually want her coming into a briefing, it looks like, given the fact that she had just simply screamed out questions to President Trump. Now, you guys know that they don't like women. Take a listen to clip six.
When we were in Saudi Arabia and we were on a foreign trip with the president, and he came in with all the other leaders, including the Saudi crown prince. They famously do not like the media there.
Right.
To put it lightly. And I asked a shouted question to President Trump, who had seen me when the U.S. press came in. He didn't answer, which is, I mean, that's how it works. You shout questions, they either answer or they don't. It's their prerogative. And then the world leaders left the room. The Saudi royal guard kind of freaked out because I dared to ask a question. And they're not used to that there because they don't have a free press. And so they came up and they said, okay, well, you can't come into the next event, which was like 2 minutes later. And I was like, that's not how this works. I go into the U.S. press, and they were like, well, you're not coming in. And I could see them like whispering and pointing about me. And some of the younger White House staff that were with the press weren't really sure what to do. And they went to Caroline. And to her credit, she said, no, Caitlin's coming in with the rest of the U.S. press. And we went in. And so it didn't become this huge issue because obviously if I had not been allowed in, you know, this is something that has happened with the North Koreans when the president visited the DMZ and Sarah Huckabee Sanders was the press secretary. And so to her credit, she without a doubt was like, no, you're coming in.
Right.
Which I do think is important in that moment, especially when you're kind of the U.S. contingent abroad. And we don't do things like they do in Saudi Arabia.
Right. See, that's a good story. And it needs to be told, because the reality of it is this White House, as they continue to deal with people accusing them of being biased and not favoring certain media outlets, that is a bold move for Caroline Leavitt to make and to push and to back, obviously, Collins. And I know the president's obviously been very outspoken about Collins and her coverage. So that's a win for the Trump administration that should be echoed. Folks, head on over to the Alex Jones Store right now, thealexjonesstore.com right now, because it's 52% off site-wide. It's our mega sale. It's going on right now. It's going to last for just a couple more days. 52% off site-wide. Again, I haven't seen a sale this great. Maybe it's been since Christmas. So it's a perfect time to stock up. And when you support us, you help keep us on air. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. We truly appreciate when you support us over at thealexjonesstore.com.
See through a rose-colored darkly. That means I'm trying to tell you the truth, but I'm not always right just about 98% of the time. And bad guys of every stripe don't want this show on the air. But you're the good guys. You have to decide, hey, this guy's a fighter. This guy stood up for this. This guy has an incredible track record. We want to support him. And then I'm going to sell you something that really works so you love it and you get it again and again. And Bigly, our great sponsor, those at AlexJonesStore.com. No matter what happens, InfoWars, we continue on the Alex Jones Network that's been built. So Key said, Alex, you keep getting it wrong. We don't have 84% reorder on Ultramethylene Blue. We don't have 76% reorder on the supplements and average. You're reading that wrong. That's on total customers. We have a 97% reorder from anybody that orders at thealexjonesstore.com. Well, that's a testament to you guys out there supporting us and how great the products are. Nobody, I mean, a site that has a 20% reorder is seen as successful. That is you being steadfast supporters, and I want to thank you. So we're running the biggest sale of the year right now, over 50% off on ultramethylene blue, on the bovine colostrum, on the new methylene red that's proprietary to us, on the Shilajit Complex, the Irish Sea Moss, Atomic Defense, and more. But it's only run until next Monday. Got 6 days to take action. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Takes money to fight a war. We're fighting a war. Plus, the products are great. So please get yours now, over 50% off, but it's an alert, only a few days left. Thank you so much.